What's going on, people? Welcome back to Is a Hot Dog a Sandwich? You're listening to Jedediah and Ethan. We're going to break down some idioms for you today. But before we get into that, Ethan, how are you doing?
I'm good. Yeah. The last couple of days have been extraordinarily productive, and it's been lovely to be back recording and to have such a wonderful response from friends, family, our listeners out there, who I think are as excited as us to have the podcast back.
Yeah, there's been a lot of people who've already mentioned it, so it's really good. I'd say we're as happy as Larry.
I see what you did there.
So I've got a little bit of a breakdown for idioms for people who know what an idiom is, but potentially don't have the exact definition.
Break it down for the gang.
So, an idiom is a group of words or a phrase that has a figurative, non-literal meaning, often established through common usage within a specific language or culture. Idioms are not meant to be taken literally. Instead, they convey a different, often metaphorical meaning that can be quite distinct from the individual words within the expression. For example, got two just to run off the off the bat. I hope they don't leave it. But I think this one's a fairly simple one. The ball is in your court.
Yes.
Meaning it is on you to make the decision or take the action. Quite literally, the ball's in your court. If you're playing tennis and the ball is in your side of the court, you got to play it. Play the ball.
Get it done.
So we're going to be speaking. We're going to be speaking metaphorically here, people. We're going to be using similes. We're breaking down the use of the English language. Before we even get into it, I know I've done a lot of studying of Arabic poetry recently.
Ooh.
Some incredible poetry that comes out of Arabic-speaking nations because of their use of language. Mm. So I would love it because my knowledge of language is so limited to only English and barely any French and even less any Spanish. So I would love if there are idioms and phrases and expressions in other people's languages. If you could share those with us, because the way different people use different language really shapes a culture. So we'd love to hear it.
I completely agree. I went to look at a book by Chinua Achebe, because I don't know if he's created a lot of these idioms or whether they are part of Western African culture, but he often uses them because his book's set in the late 1800s, early 1900s, and there was a particular way of speaking at the time, which often was to speak in these almost slightly coded messages, which are idioms essentially are.
Yeah, exactly. So idioms can sometimes be really, really blunt and on the nose, and then other times you go, wait a minute, I've got to think about that, work that one out. And one of my favorite things is when you hear an idiom that you've never heard before.
Yes.
There are some cultures that just flows off the tongue. It just, if you're from like East London or if you're from the south of the USA, it's like every other sentence you're hearing an idiom. It's like they're just an idiom generating tool.
Yeah.
So really, really fun to hear people play with words. Because words are used so literally sometimes, it's nice to hear them used in a more poetic context. Let's get into it. We're going to talk about some of our favourite idioms, some ones which have good meanings, stuff like that, and we'll keep going. Go for it. Let us know.
Okay, so I'm going to start off with some more kind of like factual ones. We'll go into a little bit of history before I go into the funnier ones, the ones that kind of tickle me.
Yeah.
The first one is going cold turkey. Going cold turkey is often used with people who have or deem themselves to be addicted to something or having problems with not using something. So that's alcohol is a common one. And I'm not going to speak on another idiom that's also used about a certain wagon. Going cold turkey, as with many things in language, there are a number of reputed sources. But this one, I think, is the one that I most enjoyed in that there's a real depth of story. So in the early 1900s, there was a satirical magazine called Judy. And it told the story of a Scrooge-like barrister whose good-willed cousin invited them for Christmas. And they were served up with some cold turkey slices, which was an outrage at the time. Can you imagine going for Christmas? At someone else's house, as kind as this other person is, and you're being sold cold turkey. And this barrister, in its Scrooge like in their Scrooge like state, got very grumpy, but still will go the next day for dinner and was again served cold turkey. And this happened for weeks.
Outrageous.
The barrister became outraged and decided to exclude this person entirely from their will. Just completely wrote them out of their will, excluded them, and excommunicated them from their lives. i.e. going cold turkey, i.e. just removing one aspect of your life immediately with no regard, no remorse, and no consideration.
Wow. Imagine being that bad at cooking that the saying has gone international. That saying about me, and it's not even bad, I quite like cold turkey.
And also, it's so kind. You're going to someone else's house to get free food and you're complaining about it.
Grow up. That's so funny, though. Like, how petty do you have to be? What? Yo, Victorian, you said England, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Victorian England was a weird place. Like, just a very weird place. Yeah. Like, all of them grow up. It's quite funny. I've got one. Mm-hmm. It's one I hear a lot, and I'm always like, this doesn't make sense.
Oh, yes.
Raining cats and dogs.
Yeah, I've got that one. I was like,
I just, what? What are you? Okay, the drops are big. Do you mean they're in the shape? So for a long time, I was just like, I don't know what this means. So I did just the tiniest bit of scrounging, and from what I could discover, there were two places where it comes from, or where it could possibly come from. Mm. So one of them was it comes from Norse mythology, that dogs were connected to the gods of the weather.
Okay.
And cats were related to gods of the harvest. Mm. So heavy rain is connected to dogs, and then the harvest, and then it leads to a good harvest. So it partially of that. The other one that I got from it,
I think this other one is the one that I'm
Eastern Europe.
Oh no. Okay, so then I've got
okay, so the other one I got from Eastern Europe, where basically before, because like some houses and stuff weren't necessarily as secure as they are today, and also animals were not as domesticated as they were today.
Yes,
you would have a cat or a dog, but they wouldn't necessarily live in the house.
Yeah.
So when it rained heavy and the waters were flowing and there was water running through the streets, just animals were getting swept up. The cats and the dogs were just flowing away with the water, which isn't funny, but it's just...
That's
just
so...
Now potentially it's become raining cats and dogs.
That's really interesting. And it's also... really, it's quite similar to the one that I know. And maybe it's also Eastern European and I'm misremembering. But in times where it was raining a lot, animals would often try and find shelter, or they would be on the roofs of buildings. And a lot of these buildings were made out of like straw or thatch or something like that. So animals would fall through ceilings into living rooms and places. So they were literally raining cats and dogs through their buildings because these animals were just falling into houses. But that sounds really similar to yours, I think. So there's definitely got to be a connection.
Yo, I can't imagine the...
the bewilderment.
You're just in your yard. You're just in your living room or whatever. And all of a sudden, Terry, the Cheshire cat from next door, has just fallen through. It's just like, what's going on here? But you know what? Slight peruse away from the general topic. One night, I always sleep with my window open. Okay. Always. Because I'm a fiend for some cold wind, right? And I need it. Even during the winter, I like to have my window open. And back in one of the places I used to live, in the middle of the night, I'm just... I don't sleep well anyway, right? So I woke up in the middle of the night and I was like, oh, it's like 3 a.m. or whatever. And I feel something on my bed. I feel something on my bed and I'm like, are you kidding me? All of my worst nightmares have come true. I've already got crazy imagination as it is. I can't watch horror movies. I can't watch scary movies. I won't sleep ever. And I'm like, oh no, the demons, they've come to get me at last. This is
my time.
Yeah, I know. Here we go. And I reluctantly open my eyes as slow as I can because I don't want to see nothing scary. When actually, about half a foot away from my face is two door down's cat.
Just getting snuggly.
Just in there looking at me. Just like, how have we both stumbled into this situation? The cat is like, what? What is it? There's some fun. There's someone in here. But this cat climbed two stories.
Wow.
This cat went all the way up. And somehow, and also this cat was tiny. It was like in its younger years. It was less than a year old. So it climbed up onto our roof. And we were both there for like 30 seconds just like, this is the weirdest situation I've been in today, at least. And then it just ran back out the window. I was like, that was so, weird, so weird. And then it saw me next day like it wasn't in my bedroom.
Just tried to pretend
that. Exactly, nothing happened.
Well, you're just going to sit there and pretend last night didn't happen.
Outrageous, fiendish behaviour. Raining cats and dogs.
That's fantastic. This one is, I don't think anywhere near as fun as that one could possibly have been. You know, it's kind of, it's funny if it was a cartoon, but it's probably been sad in humanity.
Yeah.
And this is the phrase, take it with a pinch of salt.
Okay.
So when people were poisoned back in the day, they were given antidotes. and this was through the early and early stages of developing antidotes. And on the label, you would find take with a pinch of salt, okay, because they believed that it would help the process. Mm-hmm. Whether it did or did not help the process is unknown. Yeah. And there are some salts that are used in vaccines and materials and stuff like this that are wonderful, but who knows if sodium chloride is really doing the job. So yeah, there's that.
Yeah, that's wild. And yeah, you know, medicine back in those days was very much kind of like, it worked for one person like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And we're going to now deduce that that was the thing.
Yeah.
That was it. Like, there wasn't much experimentation afterwards to really lock it in.
Yeah, and now that has been transposed over to, I'm giving you advice, but I have no idea what I'm talking about. Yeah. So good luck.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess we've stuck with sayings like that, it could potentially become kind of dangerous, just putting salt in everything, even in places salt definitely should not be.
Like wounds. Should be.
Yeah, like stuff that salt, it's just going to hurt. Take that with a pinch of salt. No, I'm okay. Let it cover it, bandage it, and leave it alone, please. Yeah, I've not done any other history of idioms. Okay. I've chosen some of my favourites.
Yes.
And then I've locked in on a couple cultural ones from the south of the USA, because they are hilarious people. There's one actually, my brother used to be in a band. I can't even remember the name of the band now, but my favourite song of theirs was also my favourite idiom, and that is a storm in a teacup. I have no idea where it come from. I wish I did now, actually, because that would be so interesting. But just imagining a storm in a teacup in itself is quite funny. I think all of my favourite idioms are ones which have great imagery within them. Ones that depict a scene of some kind. And this scene is a storm in a teacup. And it means, if anybody doesn't know, to make a whole lot of fuss about nothing.
Yeah.
It's similar to crying over spilled milk.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is done. There's no point in wasting it. Just act on whatever the mistake is, right? Yeah. Same with a storm in a teacup. Like, it's not actually a big deal. Yeah. Don't blow a gasket over it. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that, and I like the connection with cats and dogs as well, in that they probably experience storms in many teacups when they're rolling down the river. It's so fantastical, but easy to imagine, accessible for all people, and chaotic. Mm. There was another idiom that kind of I have on this list that feels very connected to that in terms of making a fuss out of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, as an adult, hanging from a 4-foot ledge.
Oh, okay. I've never heard that before.
This one I found very recently on a podcast, which I should probably remember the name, but they're popping anyway. They're all right.
Yeah, everyone's
Yeah. And they were making up idioms. So hanging from a 4-foot ledge, your feet are on the ground. You're making a fuss about nothing. You're absolutely fine, but you're blowing out of proportion.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, I really like that. The ones that you can just see. You can just see it. It's incredible. Another one I really, really like is burning a hole in your pocket.
Oh, okay.
Because to me, usually you've got some money and you really, really want to spend it.
Yeah.
You know, it's burning a hole in my pocket. Once again, you can see it. It's really easy. It's nothing too complex. It's good to go.
Good to go. The name of this podcast was Will and Rusty's Playdate.
Will and Rusty's Playdate. Go and listen to them, and then somebody tell them that we sent you there, and then get them to shout us out as well. Thanks. I feel like they're probably definitely popping 10 times more than that.
One of my favourites to use, and I'm going to give you a very slight warning. I'm about to swear. It's about to get explicit in the building.
Ah.
And this is saying someone's built like a brick shit house.
Yeah, I love that one.
And there are probably many of our listeners going, what the hell is a brick shit house?
What does that
mean?
Yeah.
And okay, there's a history behind this one, but it's a bit more fun. So back in the day, people used to not have toilets within their houses. Okay. They used to be separate, like outhouses, which were now renamed to shit houses. And they used to be made of wood, which meant that sometimes when you were using the toilet, a strong gust of wind could mean that you're exposed to the world.
While doing your business.
Yeah. Damn. So to be built like a brick shit house is to be strong enough to hold your shit together.
Strong enough to hold your shit together. I love that.
And being in Canada, no one's heard this.
No.
And the concept of outhouses is so far away from us, it sounds ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I use it as often as I can.
I like that. And I imagine Canadians are just like,
Yeah. What are you talking about?
Are we about to be under attack? I'm so scared. Yeah. The perfect place, I feel like, for imagining that sentence to be used, that idiom to be used, is you're at Sunday league game, yeah. And you've just seen the centre back. The other team centre back walk in. About 6'5", yeah. Bald.
Yeah.
Their diet contains everything.
Guinness and Stella.
Yeah. You already know they're going to be causing absolute havoc. They're not. They might not be moving, but if they get you, yeah. You're going down.
Quick side note. Shout out to an East London boy. David Beckham's dad used to give him a Guinness and raw egg after every single game he played when he was a kid. Because of the calorific content of Guinness. So maybe David Beckham's also built like a brick shit for that reason.
Guinness been building athletes for centuries. Yeah. What? Yeah. One of the best male athletes to ever come out of the UK. Yeah.
Guinness and raw egg.
Is that an egg? Was the egg in the Guinness?
That's a great question. Not one he was very specific about. So I used to give David a Guinness and a raw egg.
Oh, I feel ill. Okay, I found some really good southern idioms, which actually I think I prefer to the idioms that I've listed before.
Okay.
The first one, and what I find with southern idioms, and by southern I mean South USA, so like Georgia, Mississippi, Louisiana,
Tennessee,
yeah, places that don't have great histories, mm-hmm. but have a good way with words.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I find that almost all of these idioms from this part of the world are similes.
Oh.
They're something as a something,
yeah.
Which is quite nice because it makes it real easy. Makes it real easy. You don't need to sit there and ponder. They put it right at the.
This is compared to that.
Exactly so. So the first one I've got, and I've never heard this before, but it's brilliant. Is about as useful as a screen door on a submarine. Which is so funny. Like, how do you even think about that? How do you even get to that point? Because we all know it's got no use. Screen door on a submarine got no goddamn use. Next up, I've got sweating like a sinner in a church.
Uh-huh.
Heard that one a couple of times. Yeah, heard that one a couple of times.
I think that's also been, it's like, oh no, that's, I'm not even going to make that joke. but sweating like a sinner in a church.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hot in the South.
And they love their church.
Yeah.
And we'll keep it at that. Another one. About as scarce as a hen's teeth. Because hen don't have any teeth. Because they are birds.
That one is so on the nose.
Yeah.
I can feel it.
Yeah. There's nothing to read into in that one. That one just is what it is. And the last one I've got from them is happier than a clam at high water. Because... clams are happier
at high water. I guess all the nutrients are washed up and something like that.
Yeah. I also guess they hate it when there's no water.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, yeah.
An abundance of the thing that they live in.
Underwater animal, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. You could probably just replace clam with any thing that lives underwater. Yeah.
Happy as a fish at high tide.
Yeah. Happy as a fish at high tide. Must be. It must be.
Someone said it.
Someone's definitely said it. And if not, Ethan just said it.
Yeah. You're welcome, South.
Yeah, you just did it for him. Have you got any more?
I've got... one of my favourite insults. The lights are on, but nobody's home.
Oh, it's a rough one. It's a rough one. You don't want to hear that about you or anyone you're close to.
No. The lights are on, but nobody's home.
It's empty up there.
Yeah. You're out here, you're alive, but there's nothing going on upstairs.
There's nothing up there. That reminds me of a one, and you might have it there. It's, I don't even know if it's an idiom, but they just say, oh yeah, they're a bit of a space cadet, aren't they? To be called a space cadet is one of the worst things I could ever imagine.
To be lost in nothingness.
Nothingness, you're just floating, yeah. Floating off into the distance.
I've heard the wheel spinning, but the hamster's dead.
Jesus, I've never heard that. No. That's rough. That's a rough time, I tell you.
One for effort, for sublime effort above everything. Everything, throwing everything but the kitchen sink at it.
Oh, which okay.
Means you've given everything you possibly can, except for the sink in your kitchen. That's how much you've given. The rest of the house is crumbled because you've taken brick by brick and chucked out this trial and tribulation.
I hope everybody understood that. I just want them to let that sink in.
That's terrible. One that I think is very commonly used
yep.
in comedy. And by this, I mean in comedy scenes in movies.
Oh.
And that is to add insult to injury.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
you've seen, or even cartoons, you've seen someone fall down the stairs. And that bit makes you chuckle.
Yeah.
But the final brick that's been following them, knocking them out, mm-hmm. is the bit that really gets you going.
Yeah. There's a scene in Home Alone
mm.
where like they fall down the stairs. They've just had their hand burned. They're all going all through these things, and then just a tub of paint yeah. is on a string. And it's like, woo, boom, right in the face. Quality.
I think 15 minutes after they are recovered from their knockout, mm. and they get knocked out by another can
yeah.
of paint.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Shout out Macaulay Culkin. We did an episode where we pitted Macaulay Culkin against Predator. Go back and find that episode.
Good luck, because I don't remember that one. to beat around the bush.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, people used to try and hunt people down with sticks, felons or people who had been deemed to have stolen something
okay,
and been disenfranchised in some way. So men were sent out, children were sent out with sticks to find people because often they hid in bushes.
Yeah.
So to beat around the bush is to do anything but get to the point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That makes sense. That's a simple
one. Yeah. You know, I'm good with those ones.
Okay, so I've taken my hand in making some.
Oh.
And now I would like to pose them to you.
Okay, I'm ready.
And then potentially you tell me what you think they mean.
I'm down. I'm
here. Does that work? Okay, cool. I think that's a good way to end with a bang.
Mm.
Don't go stargazing in daylight.
Don't look for something that's not going to be there.
Yeah, like, yeah, attempting the impossible.
Yeah.
Well, there's no stars there, other than the sun, so it's a little bit. Yeah, it's kind of there. Paint the sky with dreams.
Oh, to create a fantasy world for yourself.
Yeah.
Like, to live in improve your reality.
Exactly. Yeah. To live your life with hopes and ambitions that may be a little bit out there. Yeah. Okay, next one. I've got two definitions for this one. They're walking on moonbeams.
Walking on moonbeams. It's like similar to like they're on top of the world. They're having a great time. They couldn't be physically higher in the sky with how elated they are.
Yeah. So the first of those definitions right. is to be incredibly lighthearted and bouncy, mm-hmm. but the other one is also to be a little aloof and distant.
Oh.
I feel like, yeah, he's walking on moonbeams. Yeah. A little bit like Lights Are On, no one's known. Space Elite kind of vibes, you know? Because the moon is always kind of a little bit, it's distant, it's off, it's out there. So I think associating anybody with the moon sometimes can be...
Yeah. A bit insult.
Yeah. So it's quite nice, because you could say, because someone can be incredibly lighthearted and bouncy, but also be a bit aloof.
Yeah.
Those characters go well.
Yeah, like Luna Lovegood.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly so. Okay, I've got two more. I've saved the best one for last, or the one that I think you'll like the most for last.
Okay.
So, second to last one here. Singing to the sun at midnight.
Singing to... It's a pointless exercise.
Yeah, it's... I've got here to do something for someone who's unappreciative.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. To do something, but the results are going unnoticed. Okay, and the last one, which I'm really hoping you get.
Okay.
This is the one I'm famous.
No pressure then.
They're playing chess with marbles.
If I went very literal, I'd say they're just using the wrong tools. But I think there's something more than that. I think it's another way of... Oh, yeah.
to do the task with the wrong tools. Yeah. What else were you going to say? Sorry, I didn't cut you off.
Just something about them being silly, but that also,
yeah.
like, just them being stupid.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, why have you...
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Trying to, like, eat soup with a fork. You
yeah,
know?
To bring a knife to a gunfight.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, I'm definitely going to try and use playing chess with marbles. I'm going to forget it the second we do this, but... I really want to hold
it. We should write it on the wall.
Yes. Before we literally those are the ones I come up with.
Those are really good, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
To come up on a win was very impressive.
I had a bit of time. let us know any idioms you really, really love. Let us know idioms that we haven't said. Make some up, send them in to us. We would love to hear it. Idioms are great. We'll if you send us an idiom, we will throw it into the next podcast. We will use it in the next podcast. Make sure we have to have read the idiom. Don't just be like, oh, I sent it to you and then you didn't use it. Yeah. We need to have read it. So we'll be on the job. And we can read your messages on our Instagram at isahotdogapod or other social media accounts at isahotdogasandwich.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's everything.
That is everything from me.
Yeah. Guys, have a wonderful, wonderful life. Keep walking on moonbeams. Mm-hmm. And we'll see you next time, Ram. Bye.
Bye-bye.